Turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Read verse 9. It says, "The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?"
Amen.
There's three kinds of people in the world, and all of us are in one of those categories. There's smart people, and there's wise people, and then there's stupid people. And everyone is one of them. And everybody is born stupid. Every single person is born foolish from the day they're born. And I know every parent thinks about that about everybody else's kids and not their own. You know, they think, well, yeah, everyone else's kids are that way, but my kids are real bright. They're real wise. They're real smart. But every kid is born stupid. The Bible says that foolishness is bound to the heart of the child. It's just there. And the moment they're born, they're foolish. And it is incredible what you can get a kid to do. Drink this Drano. Sure. Glug, 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 glug. They'll do anything. And you know, that's why you get these kids. They'll get in the car and they'll go 90 miles an hour with the lights off. And all you got to do if they don't want to do it is just dare them, and then they'll do anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, drive around in your car looking through binoculars. Sure, I'll do that. I dare you. Okay, I'll do it. They're just because they're stupid. They think, well, they're trying to prove. No, they're just dumb. It's just a problem. And so, you know, that's just what happens. You got this, the world just divided into these categories of foolish people and smart people and wise people. Now, what smart people, they learn from their mistakes. That's why they're smart. You know, they touch something hot and it burns them and they don't do it no more. That's smart people. And wise people, they learn from other people's mistakes. They don't have to commit them. They see you get hurt and they say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't look like that's very smart. And so they'll learn from other people's mistakes. But dumb people, they never learn. From no way. You know, they touch it, it burns them, so they touch it with the other hand. Maybe it was just a coincidence. And that's how dumb people are. They just never, ever learn. And you can't, it doesn't matter how much that you try, they just won't learn. And the world is full of these people because even though everyone's born foolish, not everyone grows out of it. There's a whole lot of people that never get any better. Look, I know I talk to people every day and it's incredible how many foolish people are around. They're just everywhere. It's like they're multiplying and they're not getting any better. And it's not just, you know, some people. It's a whole lot of people in here. There's just a whole lot of people that just aren't wise. And so I want to talk a little bit about wisdom today. And first thing is, you know, wisdom has to be taught. You're not born wise, and it won't just happen to you. If you're not wise now, you think, well, I'm just going to wait a while, and when I get old, I'll be wise. But I've met a lot of old people that aren't very wise. So it's not just going to happen to you. A lot of young kids think that. They think that maturity and wisdom will just happen. But it doesn't. These are things that have to be taught. And that's why the Bible teaches us that there are ways that wisdom is taught to foolish people. Now, the first step in teaching wisdom is correction. The Bible says that foolishness is bound to the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Amen. Corporal punishment is a great way of getting rid of foolishness. Amen. I was a very, very foolish child. My father can testify that. He's not here today. But you know, dumb kids, they just do stupid things and they have no idea why they did them. I blew up my dad's shop one time. I think I was 5 years old. I blew up his shop. I had no idea why I did that. I just went in and took the biggest inner tube I could find, which was a combine inner tube, big, huge inner tube, and I hooked it up to the air compressor, and I just let it go. See what would happen. And he says, son, why'd you do that? I don't know. You know, I don't know why I do these things. But my dad, he had himself a lot. He was a carpenter, and so, you know, he had himself a whole bunch of sticks, and he drove foolishness far from me. You know, a lot of parents, they don't want to use corporal punishment. They go, oh no, we reason with our child, but you can't reason with a fool. I don't know if you've ever tried, you know, in Mexico we deal with a lot of people, and some people, they're just plain foolish. And no matter how you try, you just want to take them and give them a spanking. Because they just won't listen. It's incredible, because a foolish person won't listen to wisdom. That's the point. That's the problem. If you listen, you want to be foolish. But they don't. And so the Bible teaches us that with our children, they're born foolish. And the only way you can get through to them is with the paddle. Now, a lot of you people are sitting there going, ooh, this isn't good. We don't want to hear this. You bunch of cavemen. But I'm telling you, corporal punishment, and I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about a little bit of pain inflicted to their hinder part will do a great deal of good to your child's wisdom. Amen. It'll teach him a whole lot more than reason with. You get little Johnny, he's about a year old. Now don't put your finger in the socket, because then 110 volts coming out at 60 megahertz per second is going to run through your body. And he's just going to stick that hanger right back in. But you take that hanger and give him a couple whacks on the butt, you know, he'll all of a sudden get smart. It's been said many times that children have this special nerve that goes from their brain down to their bottom. And you stimulate their brain right here. Puts a whole lot of wisdom in them. It's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that the first step in teaching somebody wisdom is some corporal punishment. It's not just talking about kids either. You read through the Bible and they use corporal punishment on a whole lot of people that weren't children anymore. If they found someone who just proved that they wouldn't listen to reasoning, well, then they got out of rock. And it's amazing how people start responding when pain is involved. I mean, how did you learn not to touch hot things? Well, because you touched them and they burned you. And you said, ouch, that hurts. I'm not going to touch that no more. You know, the first time you ever heated something up and you took a drink of hot milk or something and it burned your tongue, you learned that sometimes stuff is hot. And the next time you got the milk out, you tested it before you went and just poured it down your gullet. Well, that's how correction works. It teaches us wisdom. And that's a lot of reason why we are allowed to have such pain in our lives sometimes. It's just because we're not very wise. And God says, you're not listening to me. It says in the book of Psalms that the Israelites, God gave them a great deal of blessing and they wouldn't listen to Him. He tried to explain to them, He tried to teach them that they were doing wrong by blessing them. So that they would think, you know what, we're not doing what we're supposed to do and yet God is being good to us, maybe we should repent. But nobody learns like that. Or not very many people. And so then He says He sent affliction on them, and plague, and disease, and war. And all of a sudden they start saying, we repent, we repent. Why? Because they were foolish. Had they been wise, they wouldn't have required pain to learn. But foolish people require pain. It says, a whip is for the horse, and a bridle for the ass, and a rod is for the fool's back. So we learn through correction. Another way we learn is through teaching and association. The book of Proverbs says that if you will walk with wise men, you'll be wise. Amen. But this is the problem. Foolish people don't want to hang around wise people. That's why they don't go to doctors. That's why they won't go to anybody who knows anything. You know, that's one of the common complaints we get when we're in Mexico or in, I don't know if it happens in other countries, but in Mexico, a lot of times, you know, you're talking to someone, you're trying to explain to them what the Bible says, and they say, I'm not talking to you. You know too much. In other words, I'm going to go talk to someone equally as ignorant as myself and have them explain these things to me. But that's how foolish people are. That's why foolish people go ask their friends what they should do instead of go ask their parents. Yeah. Yeah. What do your friends know? They're just as stupid as you. You know, they're foolish people. They listen to Oprah to find out what they should be doing and not go ask their pastors. That's foolish people. You'll learn wisdom if you hang around wise people. Now, here's the problem. Not only do foolish people not want to hang around wise people, but wise people don't like foolish people either. It's neutral. Nobody wants, you know, it's just a mutual dislike. Who wants to have all these foolish people hanging around? You're like, get away. But if you would learn to hang around the right people, it would improve you. You would get wiser. This is why, you know, kids, they can, you have this kid, and that's why parents think their kids aren't this way, because, you know, you're around them and they act decent. You're like, wow, they're pretty bright. But as soon as they get away from you and they get around some other kids equally as dumb as themselves, it's incredible what kind of stupid things they'll do. They'll get in these shopping carts and race around until they break their arm. This is what foolish people do. Amen. Now, this doesn't happen if you get a wise person standing there going, that ain't very bright. I don't think we should be doing that. But when you don't have any wise people around, this is the kind of things that happen. That's why you should hang around wise people instead of hanging around dumb people. You think, well, wise people, they're not much fun. Yeah, but they're not walking around gimpy either. We love you, Stephen. We just want you to be wise. Why is it that we're so resistant to go find somebody who actually knows what they're talking about to get some advice? Why is it, you know, we'll go to these stupid Herbalife stores and buy all these dumb, you know, ginseng gum. Here, take that. That'll help my blood pressure, instead of going to seeing a doctor. Well, I don't want to go to them. They know too much. I'm going to go to these other people who don't know anything and see what the end of, you know, weed they give me to smoke. You know, one reason is because you say, well, if I go to the wise people, they're going to judge me. If I go to all these other people that are stupid, they don't judge me, they don't condemn me, they don't look down on me. Well, of course not. They're just as dumb as you. Of course they don't judge you. But my goodness, people, you know, if we don't want to feel judged, well, then we're going just the right path. We're walking down the right road. But if we want to actually improve, you're going to have to actually find somebody who knows something about something. Right. I mean, if you have an issue in your life, you need to go to somebody who has victory over it, not who's struggling in it.
Amen.
You know, going to find someone else who's in the exact same boat you are, in the same condition you are, the same IQ level you are, the same single-digit IQ level, going and find someone like that isn't going to help. You need to find someone who knows something about that. So we learn wisdom that way. But there's another way in which we can learn wisdom, and that's the one I believe this passage deals with, and that there's a wisdom that's taught of God. Now, that wisdom we find mainly in the Scriptures. There's a wisdom that goes beyond what you can get by a whipping, or what you can get by taking counsel with wise people. And there's a wisdom that God teaches, a wisdom that is of Him, that's superior, far beyond anything you can get from anywhere else. And that's what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, the wise men have all become ashamed. And says, lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. How is there wisdom with them? You know, the problem we have is we have all these people that think they're so wise. And yet what Jeremiah says is, if you have rejected the word of the Lord, there's no wisdom in you. There is no wisdom outside the wisdom of the Scriptures. There is no wisdom superior or greater or separate or detached from the wisdom of God. Nowadays, you know, there's this push to legitimize all thoughts. Everybody has good ideas. I'm sorry, they don't. Most ideas are pretty dumb. You know, we want to say, well, you know, the Christians, they got their wisdom, and the Buddhists got theirs, and the Hindus got their wisdom, and it's all pretty, you know, look, that isn't how it happens. That isn't true. This idea that Jesus says this and Confucius say that, you know, and that they're equal, they're on equal footing, this isn't true. God's wisdom is far greater, far superior than anything else. And as Christians, we have the advantage and the responsibility to lead our lives based on God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Now that is both a great, great advantage, and it's also a great responsibility. Because God isn't offering you advice. He's not Dear Abby writing you a little letter there. If you want to do this, God is offering you the way of life. And He says either you walk in it and live, or you don't and die. There's no alternatives to this. It's not like you can try it God's way and there's other ways that are equally valid. They're not. And it's incredible how, as human beings, we consistently act foolish. Consistently reject what God says and determine that we're going to continue to try to do things our own way and our own path when it has never worked out for us before. It's like some guy, it's like one of you have an old junker car and it breaks down on you. So you push it over to the mechanic and he fixes it. And you drive away and you get about 5 miles away and it breaks down again. So you turn around and you push it back and he fixes it. And you drive away and you get about 5 miles and it breaks down. Now how many times are you going to push it back to the same mechanic who can't fix it? I mean, how many times? Well, a foolish person goes back a whole lot of times. He just keeps taking it back, keeps paying, and they keep fixing it, and it keeps breaking down. A wise person finally says, you know what? I can do that. I can fix it that good. I don't need him. A wise person says, there's got to be someone else who can do something about this. I'm not going back to the same person that has never worked, and yet we're so foolish in our lives. You know, you just keep sticking your hand in the door and keep slamming on your fingers. Ow, that hurt. And you stick the other one in, wham, and that hurt. And you haven't figured out what the problem is. Problem is, we need to start taking some counsel from the Scriptures in our lives.
Amen.
You cannot reject God's opinion on things and be wise. It just can't happen. And the world has made it an art form. And it's incredible how stupid you get the further you get from the Bible. I mean, the further that you get from what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches, the dumber and dumber you get. You know, the Bible gives such a simple, just such a clear, simple explanation about where we came from. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But you know, they've gotten so smart now that they're trying to figure out how we came from dolphins. This is dumb. And yet, you know, stupid people get sucked in by this. You knew you go to school and you got some professor, you know little up there, and he's blah, 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 talking away, and yeah, we came from dolphins or apes or snails or whatever the popular opinion is, how the whole world exploded and became, you know, a bunch of dumb ideas, and yet you're there, you're going, wow, they never taught me this in church. You know, there's a reason why. It's stupid. And it isn't the only thing. I mean, the world is full of all these dumb opinions about how we came about and how you should live your life and who you should marry and how a marriage should work and how you should raise your kids. I'm telling you, they're dumb opinions, and they haven't worked for anybody. I could see if we had this great utopian society brought about by the teachings of Dr. Spock, and yet we look around in our society and it's not great. You think, well, if we keep trying, maybe sooner or later it will work. If it hasn't worked yet, it never will. These opinions are foolish. The Bible's opinions are wise.
Amen.
And that's why God gave us the Bible. To make us wise. Problem is, we don't read the Bible. You know, it's not a magical book. It's not mythical. You can't just like have it near to you and it'll soak in. It's not like incense, you know. Doesn't work like that. You actually have to read it.
Amen.
You actually have to see what it has to say. Some people think, well, I don't believe it. Why should I read it? Well, you should read it to find out whether or not you can believe it. You know, you would have flunked out of any school I know of. Well, a lot of people say, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. No, you don't understand it because you don't read it. I mean, how would you, what would any teacher in this room say to a kid who gets to class and say, hey, what are you doing? I'm not going to read that math book because I don't understand it. What are you talking about? You have to read it to understand it. And the Bible, like I say, is not a mythical book. It's not about, you know, you're reading, you, ooh, this is it, I don't know what. The Bible is just plain, clear reasoning and instruction on how you should live your life. And you don't even have to believe it to implement it. You know, I deal with a lot of people on marriage in Mexico who aren't believers. A lot of times you'll have just the husband will be saved or just the wife saved, and you go in there having marriage trouble, and I go in and I tell them, look, you don't have to believe the Bible for it to work. There's nothing magical about what it says. It's just plain wisdom, common sense. If you'll just do what it tells you to do, it'll change your life.
Amen.
Now, I've had people who don't agree with that and don't try. And I've had those who do. And those who do, works every time. If the husband, the wife, the children, the boss, the employee, whatever the situation is, if they'll just do what God in His wisdom instructs them to do, it'll change your life. Not anything magical about it. God's just smart. And you and I are not. That's what it's about. And the Bible then is not only just plain wisdom or common sense, knowledge, but it's also more than that. The Bible is actually written by people who knew what they were talking about. I mean, these weren't just a bunch of yahoos out there who got raptured up in the Spirit and just started, you know, scribbling on a piece of paper. These people actually were smart. These people actually knew what they were talking about, knew what they were saying. These are people who actually saw these things. You know, my brother-in-law has a friend out in Florida or somewhere, and the pastor of his church is starting to teach people. He's one of the two witnesses. You know, there's all kinds of ding-dongs around like this. They're all over the place. You know, the Jehovah's Witness got 144,000 that think they're, you know, whatever. Look, those people aren't anything. I don't understand how real Christians get sucked into these things, but they do. Look, this guy isn't one of the two. What has he witnessed? Just, I want to know, what has he seen? Well, I saw a vision. Man, look, the people of the Bible, they actually saw some. John says in 1 John, what I have touched with my hands, what I saw with my eyes, that's what I'm writing unto you. Jesus said, what we know, we speak. I mean, they wrote and explained and taught things that they knew firsthand. Not third or fourth, or, you know, but firsthand knowledge. And they write it to us. Now that's wisdom that's worth something. You certainly don't ever want to be operated on a doctor who's never been in an operating room. Well, I've seen the picture, sir. Oh, yeah. First time he sees the drop blood, woo, fuck. They're going to be with him on with the paddles. Oh, you want someone who's been there, who's actually held a heart in their hand. That's someone you're looking for. You're looking for an expert. The Bible is written by experts. Written by people who knew what they were talking about. That's why it's so valuable to us. I mean, when they talk about Jesus, they're not like Muhammad or someone else talking about Him hundreds of years later. When they talk about Jesus, they're talking about somebody they actually walked around with. And so when they say Jesus did this, or Jesus said that, or Jesus thought this, you know, what would Jesus do? When they tell you what would Jesus do, their opinion means a whole lot. And you ought to listen to it. And that would be wisdom to you. Solomon says in Proverbs that he wrote the book of Proverbs so that reading it, you could gain wisdom. You know, it's a good discipline for a while, especially you younger people, to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Every day, read a chapter of Proverbs. You read it once a month. You would all of a sudden find yourself being a whole lot wiser.
Amen.
Just a whole lot wiser if you just read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And yet we reject God's opinion on almost every matter imaginable. And then we wonder why everything's in shambles. I don't care how many degrees you might have or how intelligent you think you are. If you reject God's opinion on things, you're stupid. And I'm not trying to offend you, but you're just plain foolish. Because no matter how smart you think you are, you're not nearly as smart as that. Jeremiah says they have rejected the Lord's word. The wise men have rejected the Lord's word. How wise can they be?
Amen.
Not very. Not very. God has certain opinions on how you ought to live your life. God has an opinion on how you ought to treat your wife, how you ought to treat your husband. And I realize those opinions don't go along with any modern philosophy out today. God is still right and you're still wrong. God has an opinion on how you ought to raise your children. Even though every social worker in the world will tell you you're wrong, God is still right. God has an opinion on how you ought to do your job. God has an opinion on how you ought to treat your employees. God has an opinion on everything that you can imagine. He has an opinion on. And His opinion is right. And if you would read the Bible in a consistent fashion, you'd find His opinion and it would be wisdom to you. God has an opinion. God has an opinion on your soul. God has an opinion on what you should believe and what you shouldn't believe. This idea that everyone believes what they want and all's good, that's not God's opinion. God's opinion is that if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, He's going to send you to hell. You read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews to me is fascinating. The book of Hebrews deals, I think, with one point. He's arguing one point, that you have to listen to Jesus Christ. And he compares Jesus Christ to everything you can imagine that's great. Angels, Christ is greater than any angel. Moses, greater than Moses. Abraham, before Abraham was, I am, he said. Greater than Abraham, greater than the prophets, greater than the sacrifices, greater than the priests. Christ is greater than anything. What happened when people didn't listen to angels? Nothing good. And what happened when people didn't listen to Moses? And didn't listen to the prophets? Nothing good. Their word was not optional. They didn't come and say, if you want, if you like, what the Moses and the prophets and the angels and the priests and all that the Old Testament said, that was not optional. And those who didn't listen paid the price. And the point of Hebrews is this. If when people disregarded the word of the prophets and Moses and the angels and the sacrifices and the priests, and that's what happened, what will happen to you when you disregard the word of the Son?
Amen.
Nothing good. This idea that now we're under grace and therefore God is not demanding, this isn't what the Bible teaches. If you discard Jesus Christ, if you go through your life and you don't give your soul to God, you don't commit yourself to Him as Lord and Savior, there will be no mercy later.
That's right.
You cannot disregard God's wisdom and still be wise. You'll be found very foolish. You know, Jesus gave us a parable about a man who did this. It says that he was quite bright. He was quite intelligent. He accumulated a great deal of wealth. And then he figured out ways to accumulate more wealth. And in any society I know of, he would be considered a very wise man. And yet God says you're a fool. Because you haven't taken care of what's most important, which is your soul. There's a whole lot of foolish people in the world. There are probably foolish people among us right now. If you have not take care of your soul, if you haven't put your eternal salvation as priority, number one, in your life, then you are very foolish. Because everything you have is temporal. Your soul is eternal. That's the part of you that never gets old. That's why old people still think they're young. Like Marty. That's that part of you that never dies. Never goes away. They can cut off your arms and your legs and you're still the same person. That's what you need to start looking out for and taking care of. And the only way you're going to get any answers for the ailments of your soul is in the Bible.
Amen.
That's the only place. Nobody else has an answer. They don't even have an opinion. The Bible has the answers. And the Bible teaches us that the answer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our answer. And you need to entrust your soul to Christ Jesus. You need to ask Him to save you. Or you're going to be found very foolish.